Amen. The First Testament lesson this morning is from Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 through 16. You can follow along in your pew Bibles on page 803. Listen for the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to me, mortal prophecy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, you shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the sheep. You have not strengthened the weak, you have not healed the sick. You have not bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strayed. You have not sought the lost. But with force and harshness, you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains, on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with no one to seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the word of the Lord, because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild animals, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep. But the shepherds have fed themselves, and have not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, I am against the shepherds, and I will demand my sheep at their hand, and put a stop to their feeding of the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, so that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered, on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the watercourses and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep and will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. The word of the Lord.
We turn our attention now to the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And what we have are sort of three short pieces of teaching from Jesus, which are bound together by Matthew into a single theme. And so as we go through these verses, I encourage you to sort of listen for what connects them, and then we'll talk more about it. So we're beginning in the 10th verse, going to the 22nd verse. Take care that you don't despise one of these little ones. For I tell you, in heaven, their angels continually see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a shepherd has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, doesn't he leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly, I tell you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So, isn't it the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones should be lost? If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you're not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, Let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. The word of the Lord. I was sitting in my office in my former congregation, and one of the church gnomes stuck his head in. And the church gnomes are the name we gave to those people in the church who fix things. They're sort of broken and magically they get fixed. Okay, well, this is that group of sort of fix-it guys, and one of them stuck his head into my office and said, John, how would you like to go to the Restore with me? And I said, the Restore? He goes, yeah, the Restore. I said, what's the Restore? He said, you don't know what the Restore is? And I said, no, that's why I asked you what the Restore was. And he said, oh, well, come on, come with me, hop in my truck. It is Texas, after all. So we went and hopped in his truck. And we drove to the Restore. And along the way, he explained to me what the R-E-S-T-O-R-E, Restore. He explained to me what the Restore was. The Restore was this big warehouse where builders, developers, homeowners, when they had excess building supplies, cabinets, doors, screen doors, gently used things, countertops, that they would take these and they would take them down to the Restore, and then the Restore would sell them, and every dime of that money would then go to Habitat for Humanity. The Restore was an extension of Habitat that helped them build homes for people who couldn't afford them otherwise. And so as we're driving back to the church in his pickup truck, a couple of new doors in the back of it, I thought to myself, and by the way, this is what ministers do, this would make a great sermon illustration about stewardship. Now, I realize some of you may be wondering, how is that a stewardship illustration? After all, we all know what stewardship is about. It is about
money.
Thank you very much, right? So it's stewardship season, and everybody knows what's coming, and it's sort of like PBS fun drive time. Right, where you'll be watching your favorite show and suddenly this smiling person will come on and tell you about these are the wonderful gifts that you will get if left to the church. I mean, to the PBS. And I thought, actually, every year that does. I think maybe we should do that, right? You give it a certain level, you get a free Bible. You get it another level, you get a everybody's church t-shirt. But we all know that that's sort of what church stewardship is all about, right? It's about money. And if we stretch it, we can talk about time and talent. And, you know, it's the three T's, time and talent and treasure. And that is what we as church people are supposed to be about in stewardship. But if that's where we sort of end our understanding of stewardship, we have missed the most vital piece of what stewardship is about. Because the most vital piece of stewardship is not time, it is not talent, it is not treasure, it is people. That you and I are to be stewards of humanity. After all, see, that's what this entire story is about. It is about God's stewardship of human beings. It is about God taking broken people and broken relationships and broken communities and broken creation and restoring it. See, there's the restore. And restoring it. Take what has been cast off and making it whole. And so what you and I are called to do is to be God's co-stewards of humanity. Now, I know, if you listen to the Ezekiel passage, it sounded like God was going to do it all by God's self. Okay, you shepherds, you haven't been taking care of the sheep, so now I'm going to do it. And we probably would like to go, whew, God will do that, we don't have to. But what Jesus teaches us is that we are God's hands and voice and feet in the world. We are the stewards of humanity. And that is what all three of these passages, these little vignettes, are about this morning. Each one of them comes at the stewardship of people in a very different way. The first of these is this wonderful story that Jesus tells of the shepherd who had 100 sheep. One wanders off, goes, and the shepherd leaves and goes and finds that one and brings it back. And sort of, for those of us at least from the South, we've sort of talked about that as well. These are backsliders, you know, people who sort of wandered from the church. But that's not what this is referring to. What Jesus is referring to here are the disposable people in life. Those whom the shepherds have decided are not really worthy of going out and looking for and bringing back. And the reality is every culture, every society has disposable people. Those that we don't care what happens to them because they're not worthy of our care and our concern. In the time of Jesus, these people consisted not just of widows and orphans, but of the landless poor, those who had lost their land and had no way to make a living and sort of stood around the town center as day laborers, hoping someone would come and give them work. I just finished a novel by an African author who talked about his tribe. One of the things that they did was when twins were born, they were considered to be disposable. You didn't want to keep them. They would sort of curse the tribe, and so they would put them out to die. But see, we have disposable people. The kids who come to the Ruth Ellis Center, kids in foster care. I mean, even if somehow they manage to sort of make their way through foster care, they turn 18 and we say, hey, there you go, good luck, have a great life. You're disposable. We no longer have any responsibility for you. It's kids in school districts that are underfunded, who don't have the opportunity to learn like our children have the opportunity to learn. It's like, well, it's their problem. They're disposable. We don't really need to worry about them. But what Jesus says is, no, part of our task is to restore these people, these children, by reclaiming them, by leaving the 99 and going out and finding them and bringing them back into community and helping them be restored to the fullness of who they are and who God has designed them to be. The second little vignette here has to do with relational restoration. Okay, now, at first service, some people were willing to raise their hands to this question. How many of you have ever, when someone has said something to you, done something to you, have you sent off an angry email, text, or letter? Anybody? All right. Some of us are brave enough to admit we do it. But see, that's our natural response, right? Someone hurts us, and we want to hurt them back, regardless if it breaks a relationship, regardless if it destroys our ability to sort of bring them back into community with us. We just do it. But what Jesus says is that's not the way we are to respond. When someone sins against us, when someone hurts us, our task is to go personally to them and sit down with them and explain what they've done and how it has hurt us. And if that doesn't change their mind, then we're supposed to go get a couple of our friends and go back and do it again. And if that doesn't work, we are supposed to go to the church and get the whole church to do it. Because what Christ says is that this is about restoring this person, not just to relationship with us, but to relationship with the community. Because when you break relationship with one person in a community, what happens is you begin to break relationship with everyone else. And so what Jesus says is our task is to work diligently at restoring these relationships so we can restore people into the fellowship of the whole church, the whole community. The last one. Okay. I love Peter. Okay? Peter's my kind of guy. So he's heard Jesus sense of, you know, listen, if one person goes astray, you go and find him. He's heard Jesus teach about, okay, listen, if someone sins against you, here's the process for restoring them. And so Peter goes, ooh, Jesus, how many times do I need to forgive someone? Seven? Now, Peter really thinks he's being magnanimous here, because in this period of time when Jesus is teaching, rabbis sort of had a three-strike rule for forgiveness. Someone hurts you once, you forgive them. Twice, you forgive them. Three times, you forgive them, and then they're gone. Three strikes, and you're out. But Jesus says, no, not just seven times, it is 77 times. In other words, an infinite number. And of all these things, this is probably the most difficult one for us to deal with. But what I want us to understand is that if we want to be restored as human beings, and we want those human beings who have hurt us to be restored as human beings, we have to forgive them. Because if we don't forgive them, we can never be released from the pain they have caused us. See, what happens if we don't forgive is that we are trapped by the anger and the resentment and the pain they have caused. We are not free to be fully alive as God wants us to be alive. And those people aren't free to be alive as God wants them to be, because they are still trapped in what they have done to us and in that anger that is between us. And so Jesus says we have to release them in order to restore ourselves and restore our relationship and restore them. You and I are called to be faithful stewards. And faithful stewardship is about the restoration of people and relationships and communities and the world. We are those people who have been called by Christ to do this. And so my challenge to you, on the surface, is an easy question, but deep down inside, it's extraordinarily difficult. And the question becomes, how am I being a faithful steward when it comes to human beings, helping to restore everyone I encounter and maybe even those I don't? How am I working to restore people into the full human beings God has designed them and created them to be. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks that you have called us to be faithful stewards, to be those who stewardship not just time, talent, and treasure, but who steward human beings, those who are lost and broken and alone. Give us the courage to be your restorative agents now and always. In Christ's name, amen.